Okay, welcome to Shir number 3. The title, who remembers the title? What was the title? No, the title. I know the title, but tell me, the title's important. Re-examining Magid. We'll explain that. In light of Sefer Dvarim. Here's my point. Who else needs this sheet? We're good? No? Menachem. Okay. Re-examining means re-examining. What's great about teaching Haggadah is everyone knows the text. What's bad about teaching Haggadah is we're so used to reading it, we don't pay attention to it. What I want to show you is that I can read Haggadah, it's a cute little story. We all know it almost by heart from a young age. Right? But we rarely ever study it as a unit. And number two, we don't realize that the author, whoever wrote, Haggadah sort of came about. No one wrote it from beginning to end. But the different parts that the Haggadah quotes were written by authors who assumed that the audience knows Chumash. And if you don't realize that, half the Seder is going to go way over your head. But I want to show you, there's certain things. I'll give you an example. Just some songs we sing. What's the first song we sing, in Magid? I mean, Halachma doesn't count, but... Remember Avadim Inu? At what point do we sing Avadim Inu?
Right after Manishtana.
Right after Manishtana. And what's Manishtana? How many questions in the Manishtana? Oh, back then was how many?
Four,
five. The five, and now there's four?
Yeah.
No. No. What's the real answer? There's one question. The question is, how come all year long do you ignore me and tonight you're trying to get my attention? That's what the kid's asking. Why is tonight special? Why do you care about me tonight? All year long you ignore me. And now you're messing with me. And he proves to them that you're trying to get my attention. By doing what? Tonight you're making kiddush twice. You're washing without... You follow the kids? Says, what do you want from me? But he's not to say, he's no dummy. Now, and the answer to the Manishtana is, why is tonight different? We don't answer him how come we're leaning. Because what's the answer to the four proofs he brings? The answer is, I'm trying to get your attention. We'll ignore you in 5 more minutes. But for 2 minutes we'll get your attention. And for some reason we answer what song? Avadim Hayinu. And did anyone realize that Avadim Hayinu was a pasuk in Chumash? How many people knew that? Avadim Hayinu. And the way Chumash writes it is very different than the song. Here, there's a source sheet here. You have this one? Pass them over there. You can come on the side. We're good. Anyone else need a source sheet? We have a couple more here. A lot more here. You have in the back? Pass to the back. That song Avadim Hayinu, the way most people sing it is like totally crazy because they say the word Hayinu 3 times or 2 times. Hayinu, yeah. And then they say Atata, B'nei Chorin, and then in case it wasn't clear enough, they say B'nei Chorin twice, which means we were once slaves and now we're free. Who sings it that way? Most people. And then you look in your Haggadah and what words are missing? Right? Hayinu is only once and B'nei Chorin is not even there. But the pasuk we're quoting is from Chumash, and that's going to be our first source. Should be on the source sheet. It's a little interesting. Let me find where the source is going to be. Where's Avadim Hayinu? 1 second. Oh my gosh. My source sheets are not doing good today. Oh, here it is. Okay, yeah. It's source on the middle page. On the middle page, where it says C. On the back part of the middle page, which is source sheet 2. On the back side of it, where it says C. When Moshe Rabbeinu's speech in the 40th year from Devarim 6:20, you see that? Make sure you find it. Okay, the middle page of the 3 pages, the back side of it, source C on the top. Moshe Rabbeinu's speech in the 40th year. Okay, let's take a look there. It's right after Shema, Shema b'Hafta. There's an interesting question. Look in Pasuk Chaf. Ki shachat bincha machar lemor. Remember, Moshe is giving his speech in Sefer Devarim, reviewing all the laws that he got on Har Sinai 40 years later. And he tells them, should your children ask you, saying, Ma ha'idot v'chukim v'mishpatim asher tziva Hashem elokeinu etchem? What are these laws and laws and laws that Hashem, our God, commanded you? Okay. And what do we tell him? V'amarta levincha, avadim ha'inu l'far rov mitzrayim, there's no atata b'nei chorim, instead v'yatzein Hashem in mitzrayim b'yad chazaka, etc. No. You understand, Avadim Hayinu is an answer to what question? To a son's question. But it's not the question we ask. And whose question is that in the Seder? Whose question is Pasuk Chaf? The Chacham or the Rasha? Why did you say it's the Rasha? To you and not to me, right? He's right, isn't he? Or is it the Chacham's question? No. It's the Chacham's question. How do we answer the Chacham? Anyone remember? You can take a look at it. That's on the front page. Look on the front page in number 6. We quote the Haggadah there. See what it says, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. And then we have the Chacham. The Chacham's question is right out of Sefer Dvarim. Isn't it? See the Chacham, Mahu Omer, Ma'idot V'chum Mishpin HaShir Tziv HaShem HaKinu Etchem. V'afat Omer Lo Kichot HaPesach, Ein Mavtin Achar Pesach HaFikomen. We answer him about the laws of from the Sechet Pesachim. Now, what answer does Chumash give? A totally different answer. It could be whoever wrote Haggadah doesn't know Chumash. That can be. Now, listen. If I look at Chumash, look in Chumash again. Look in Chumash. And the one in source C there. Right? What does the word mam mean in its context? In Dvarim Perek Vav. What's the meaning of the word ma? How would you translate it? Now, what are the laws? Because if the question was, what are the laws? He wouldn't be a normal kid. And number two, what's he really asking? Not what the laws are. Why do I have to keep them? That's a normal kid. Because Moshe is about to teach 20 chapters of laws. And should your kid ask you one day, hey, how come I have to keep all these laws? Ever happen? Most of you are a parent. Of course they're going to, because they're normal. And what do you explain to your kid? Abadi mayuno. Now, in the Haggadah, what's the question? What's ma mean in the Haggadah? When the Chacham asks, what are the laws? What's the kid want to know? Yeah. He wants to know more laws. We call them a nerd. They hear call him Chacham. It's a nice. No kid. He's a kid who wants to learn. They could play ball on Sunday morning and they go and they come to listen to a shir instead. You understand the problem? In what Haggadah did, it took a question from Chumash, they borrowed the words, but they reinterpreted the meaning of the question and gave a totally different answer. Because that's called Midrash. So, the Haggadah isn't claiming to say that explaining Pshat of Chumash. The Haggadah is using, it's playing a game. It's taking a question from Chumash, reinterpreting the question about the Seder, and giving an answer fitting for the Seder. We'll see why in a minute. What I want to do now, I want to understand why do we answer in our Seder, Avadim Ayinu, to the normal son? Who's asked, how come you're trying to get my attention tonight? Now, what we're going to do first, and that's going to take us right into Sefer Dvarim. We're going to read the answer, and we're going to play this game called Jeopardy. We're going to read the answer and figure out what the question was. So the question is, what's the purpose of these laws? And let's read, let's say you heard this answer. Let's say you're a kid, and someone told you the answer starting from Chaf Aleph. Let's see what the answer is. Because the answer isn't only Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Let's read on. It says, tell your children, when your children ask you, why do we have to keep all these laws? What are they all about? It says, tell your children, we were slaves to Paro in Egypt, and God took us out with Paro's outstretched arm. Okay? God brought all these miracles and punishments to Egypt. And we saw this. He took us out of there. Leman haviotanu l'tet lanu atar sazot asher nizva labotenu. The Zionist editor put something in here. You heard of the Zionist editor? Yeah. He's messing with Sefer Dvarim left and right. Putting all the Zionistic stuff in there. He said, God took us out of Egypt to give us the land of Israel that he promised our forefathers. But Sabenu Hashem elokenu lasot et kol hachukim elu. And God commanded to keep all these laws that we're about to teach you in Sefer Dvarim. To fear God. And it's for your good all the days. To keep us alive like we are today. It's the right and just thing for us to keep these laws. When we keep all these laws that God's commanding us, that I'm commanding you, that God commanded us. Got that? That's a long-winded answer. So what are we telling the kid? What do we just answer our child? When our children ask you, why do we have to keep all this Torah stuff? Why do we keep all these laws? What are we supposed to tell them? No, it didn't say that. It didn't say because God said so. That's a modern parent who doesn't understand Chumash. What? It didn't say tradition either. What? Is it for our good, these laws? Since the laws are for our good. Couldn't we begin the answer from Pasuk Chaf Dalet? That God commanded us these laws because we need to fear God. And it's for our good for all the days, so we stay alive, and it's the right thing to do. You can say it's a good thing to do. It's a good idea. It'll keep you alive. Why eat fruit and vegetables every day instead of chocolate? It's good for you. But when you get, how come you're giving me this for lunch? So you have to get it. It's for your good. You need the protein. So the kid asks, how come I keep mitzvot? It's for my good. I could answer from Chaf Dalet. So what I begin with Chaf Alef Chaf Bet? You know what we're telling our kid? You tell him, you know what? The whole reason why God took us out of Egypt was why? Was to get these laws. Isn't that the answer? When your kid, in Chumash, the kid's not asking about Passover. But the kid knows its history because it's the kid, the next generation knows about the Exodus. It's the story everyone's talking about. And they know it was amazing. And you're supposed to tell your children when they ask about all these laws, what are they all about? You tell your kid, you know what, kid? The whole reason that God got involved in my history was in order to give me these laws to keep in this land. In other words, what do we have to tell our children? What? That the reason why God took us out of Egypt was in order to keep his laws. You ever heard that concept before? Because Sefer Shmot happens to be the same Zionist editor there also. I mean, the same God. It says the same thing. You know what about Pasuk? Now we'll go back to our first source. Let me go back a step. I'll explain what I did in a minute. Let me go back a step. I should have asked you in the very beginning, is there a biblical obligation to tell the story of the Exodus? Is Magid Echiyub D'Oraita? Yeah. Everyone say a chorus. What pasuk does everyone quote? Now, why do we need a pasuk for a biblical obligation? Because that's exactly what a biblical obligation means. I need a pasuk. And what pasuk does everyone quote? V'igadet elevincha b'yom ha'lemor. Finish it for me. Bavur zeh asah Hashem li b'tzeiti mimitzrayim. Now, everyone ever tried to translate that pasuk? Almost impossible, isn't it? Let's try. Tell your children on that day. On what day? What's that day? If I had the pasuk by itself, I don't know. Tell your on that day saying, for the sake of this. What's this? What this is? God did for me when he took me out of Egypt. You can write that in a composition anywhere. That's totally unclear. I can only understand that pasuk in its context. And if I follow the Rambam in Hilchot when he explains the laws of Haggadah, he quotes this pasuk, but he doesn't begin with pasuk chet because Rambam knows how to read chumash. He has to begin where the topic begins in pasuk gimel, and now we can go to our first source on the beginning of page 2. What we're going to do first is like this. I want to show you what I just showed you in Sefer. I began with Sefer Dvarim because Sefer Dvarim is the topic of our shir, and Sefer Dvarim is Avadim Ayinu, and we're all familiar with. But I want to show you there's a very logical connection between what Sefer Dvarim says and what we said earlier in Sefer Shemot about what is our biblical obligation to tell our children and why is it so important. So we're going to begin in source A from Sefer Shemot. Remember, in chapter 13, we're out of Egypt already. We left Egypt. It's the morning after. We ate matzah for breakfast because we had nothing else to eat. We were in a rush. We got rushed out. And we're in Sukkot, I think, aren't we? Yeah, we're in Sukkot. We're in Sukkot. We're out of Egypt, and we just had matzah for breakfast. And we had an amazing day the day before, and it's the morning after. Moshe tells the people, remember this day that you left Egypt. It was last night, but the morning you left Egypt. Remember what happened today. God took you out of Egypt with an outstretched hand. And don't eat chametz. Is that one command or two? Well, what's the first command? Which is a mitzvah when? Every day. Didn't say when he did. Remember this day. You're supposed to remember it every day. We fulfill that every day, don't we? And then it says don't eat chametz. Is that a commandment every day? Your doctor might tell you that. But that's only once a year. But it's not clear what's going on, isn't it? If you're going to say something, say, and eat matzah. Don't say, don't eat chametz. Say, eat matzah. Rabbi Alex just gave a shir on that, didn't he? About why is it eating matzah, that's important, or not eating chametz. No. So that's the opening statement. It's not clear whether it's one commandment or two. But let's say What seems to be the reason why you can't eat chametz? Are they related? Is there any connection between remembering the day you left Egypt and not eating chametz? Well, would there be any connection between those two commandments? There's a mitzvah to remember the Exodus. Another mitzvah, don't eat chametz. Is there any connection between the two?
You're in the same time.
I mean, let's say you get rid of all your chametz from your house. Let's say once in the middle of the year, get rid of all your chametz, and you only eat matzah. And you say, no chametz allowed. What's going to happen in your household? What's going to happen in your household, no matter what kind of kids you have? So, but during, what are they going to do during the rebellion? Let's say by chance you might have a respectful kid. What might he ask? What's going on, right? It's obvious. The question's going to happen. Any kid's going to ask. How come we're not eating chametz? And what would you tell him? That's why they didn't eat it the first year. But years later, it reminds you of what? Put it this way. If someone served you for lunch a tray wrapped in plastic with, with a half-hot, rice and pieces of chicken with a little cup of water with a top on it and three other things what are you going to remember? I'm going to remember I was on a plane. You follow? Because people remember things by food, don't you? If you say, where are you from? You remember the chont. You don't remember the rabbi's drasha. You remember the chont at the Kiddush. You might remember how long it was, but you're not going to... You remember things through food. And therefore, what's God saying? Remember this day by not eating chametz. It would probably be better to say, don't eat matzah. I mean, eat matzah, but it's the same thing. If you can't eat chametz, you eat matzah. Now, and what I want to suggest is the way we remember the Exodus is by what? By not eating chametz. Now, why would not eating chametz remind us of leaving Egypt? Why? Why would not eating chametz remind, for the same reason that eating that because it reminds you of the airplane ride, it reminds you of the experience you went through X amount of years ago. But by not eating chametz, I can remember what happened X amount of years back when I ate matzah. How long is that going to last for? The next year, will they remember? If you don't eat chametz for a week, what will happen? You'll remember. Oh, I remember that. And 20 years later, might remember also. How long is that going to last for?
As long as you do it.
What? But the people who went through it are going to remember it without telling, because they went through it. Who's going to have a trouble connecting between eating matzah and remembering the Exodus? Who's going to be challenged with that? The future generation will have trouble with that. Why? Because they weren't on the airplane, remember? They took Amtrak. They don't know what Amtrak. They didn't travel that way. You follow? They didn't have that experience. So how is it going to work for future generations? Well, we still have to eat matzah and not eat chametz. So what do we need to do, though? When? When you stop eating chametz and starting matzah, what do you do? Tell the story to fulfill Pasuk Gimel. Does that make perfect sense? Now let's read. What I just told you is just written black and white. Okay. This year you're living in the spring. Therefore, here's a Zionist editor. When you get to the land of Israel, next year hopefully, it takes four, but sooner than you get to Israel, every year in this month of the spring, do this avodah, which is doing what? Eat matzah for 7 days. And on the seventh day, make a holiday. Matzot should be eaten for 7 days. And you can't have any chametz and sor in your... But what do you need to do as you're doing this? The most obvious. V'gad t'levincha b'yomohu. On what day? On what day do we do this? The day you're eating matzah and stopping your chametz, what do you have to do? To fulfill Pasuk Gimel, you have to tell your children, the what? Bavur zeh, for the sake of what? No, but what's that referring to? You're eating matzah, not having chametz. But what's the word zeh referring to in its context? For the sake of this what? This matzah. What did God do for me? All these miracles taking me out of Egypt. There's an implicit that God didn't know. I need to explain to my children when I'm starting to eat matzah, there's a reason why I'm eating matzah, and it relates to why God took me out of Egypt. Now, look again at the pasuk and tell me, do we need to explain to our children why I'm eating matzah or why God took me out of Egypt? If Zeh is referring to pasuk Vav Zayin, which would make sense in context, eat matzah for 7 days, you can't have chametz, and tell your children for the sake of this, eating matzah, not having chametz, God took me out of Egypt. Okay, are we explaining to our children why I'm eating matzah or why God took me out of Egypt? Logically, just read the pasuk, what's called Pshuto Shemikra. How would you read it? It's not simple, correct? Otherwise you would have answered me already. But if you have to vote, what's the simple meaning of the pasuk? You tell your children on that day, when you're eating matzah, you know, the first in the spring, for the sake of this, God took me out of Egypt. Why are you laughing at Rashi? But it's funny, isn't it? You know what he said? It sounds like I tell my children the whole reason God took me out of Egypt was to eat matzah. Now, we're taught differently, aren't we? But look at Rashi, you were laughing at. See Rashi and source B? Rashi and Smot. Bavur's there. Bavur shakei mitzvotav kagom pesach matzah. Rashi takes it a step farther. What do you tell your children? Tell your children the whole reason God took me out of Egypt was in order to eat matzah and basically to keep his mitzvot. Isn't that Rashi? Now, if Rashi says it, who's that? Someone's going to disagree.
Why are we saying that, according to this logic, we should really say the Haggadah of the entire Pesach, not just tonight?
It could be, but yeah. Don't give them any ideas. It's bad enough to keep 2 days some places. No. Listen, Rashbam says, Bavur's there. What do you call it? Because God did the miracles, he took me out. I'm keeping the laws to remember the miracles. But we'll take Ebenezer. Ebenezer's the best here. I'll take the Rosh Ebenezer in Hebrew, but you can follow it in English. First, Ebenezer quotes this guy, Rabbi Marinus, who also the Ramban quotes, okay, and says, Bavur zeh, hayori lo tafuch. The pasuk should really be written opposite, because the pasuk doesn't make sense. Like Rabbi Marinus agrees with you. He laughs the same way you did. The pasuk doesn't make sense the way we read it. That God took me out of Egypt to eat matzah. So it can't be. He says, the pasuk really means the opposite. That I'm eating matzah to remember God took me out of Egypt. He says, the pasuk should really be written backwards, tafuch. I'm eating matzah because God did for me these miracles. Okay? And he brought a lot of examples where Chumash writes something and it really means the opposite. I mean, it should be in the opposite order. Okay? It could be. Ulefi dati, Ebenezer says, ain't echad mehem nachon. He's a little sharp. Ebenezer says, all the proof that this Rabbi Marina brings doesn't agree. They're all wrong. Ki ech napoch divrei elim chayim. He makes fun of him. He says, it should be hafuch. And he says, ech nafoch divrei elim chayim. He says, I'm not eating matzah to remember that God did miracles for me. It's not about me, it's about God. And listen to what he says now. Rak pirush bavur zeh, bavur zot avodah, she'achilat matzah v'lo yechal chametz, shu tchilat ha-mitzvot she'siva lanu Hashem, asa lanu Hashem otot ad sh'otiyanu b'mitzrayim. V'atam lo hutziyanu b'mitzrayim rak lo'ovdo, v'ketub kasher otet yetchem eretz mitzrayim l'chel Elohim. Ebenezer is going thematic. He says, if you follow Chumash and follow the theme of Chumash, it's exactly the opposite. What do we need to tell our children? I'm not eating matzah to remember that God did for me miracles. God did miracles for me and took me out of Egypt so that I would keep his laws, like eating matzah. That's a different hashkafa, isn't it? One, you follow? One is rather childish, I think, that I have to thank God because he did miracles. It's all about me. God works for me. I have to thank him, but out of gratitude, I need to thank God for doing miracles for me. And therefore, I eat matzah to remember, oh, God saved me. Or the other is destiny, where I tell my children, the reason why God got involved in my history, and the reason why God takes care of us and watches over us, is in order that we be his people and keep his mitzvot. And the purpose of God getting involved in our history is in order to be his nation. Ebenezer knows how to read Chumash. But he's thinking, it might not be the simple meaning of the pasuk on the spot, but thematically, it's perfect. And what pasuk does he quote? The pasuk that we use every day to remember the Exodus. Ani Hashem Elokechem, the last line of Tzitzit. I'm the God who took you out of Egypt in order to be your God. Which is exactly the same idea. Ebenezer understands And Rashi agrees with him. He just says it much more in a short way. It's, we have to tell our children that the whole reason that God got involved in our history and took us out of Egypt was in order that we become His nation, to train us, to become His nation. And that's the reason why God took us out of Egypt. And when I remember the Exodus, I don't need to remember that He took me out. Gratitude, I need to remember why He took me out. Destiny and purpose. That's a much more mature approach. Got the idea? No. Does that explain Avadim Ayinu now in Sefer Dvarim? Isn't that exactly Avadim Ayinu? When your children ask you, why do I have to keep all these laws? What do you tell them? Tell them, you know what, kid? The whole reason God got involved in our history and took us out of Egypt and did all these miracles was not because he works for me, but He has a job for me. There's a reason God got involved in our history, and we have to appreciate that and recognize we have a destiny. It's not about God works for us, we have to thank Him, oh, you help us out all the time. We have to realize there's a reason why we're chosen, and we have a destiny. There's a purpose in our chosenness, and we have to fulfill that. And every year we need to remember God involved in our history for a reason. Yeah.
Is that why God put us there to begin with?
You couldn't ask the better question. That's the chutzpah to kesan. That's the real theme of the Seder. Because is it true that God put us there to begin with? Where does it say that? That's Sefer Bereshit. That's Pre-Pen of Tarim. And that's the chutzpah to kesan. Because later in the Seder, what are we going to say? We're going to get more into detail after the kid falls asleep. And when the kid's out of the way and looking for that to come, and we start the adult Seder, what do we say? We thank God for keeping His promise. What promise? A brief end of Tarim. That God's going to put you in and take you out, remember? God promised Abraham to take you out. And if the kids were around and he was smart, what would he ask? Why am I thanking Him for taking me out? He promised to put me in. If I got stuck there myself, okay. But if He put me in, take me out, don't do me any favors. But if I understand that God put me in as basic training in order to take me out, and I appreciate the need for that training, then it's important to thank God for the whole process. And that's the Seder for the adults. Because what are we supposed to learn from? We suffered in Egypt. There's a reason why God, when we become a nation, we don't start with a land, do we? We're wandering Arameans, I think, aren't we? Our forefathers were wandering Arameans. They didn't have a land they could call home. And what did God do? God got involved in history. He had a destiny for us. He put us into Egypt. And we became a nation in someone else's land, didn't we? And then He redeemed us. And then He took us out. And then he gave us the land. To do what? To be a nation representing God. And through the rest of Sefer Dvarim especially, but throughout Chumash, we'll see examples in a minute, in Mishpatim and in Kedoshim Tiyu, we have numerous laws, at least 20, around there, where there's laws about how do we represent God by how we act. It's not only through a ritual, but through a just society, being kind to the stranger, the orphan, the widow, being sensitive in everywhere you turn in life, as a farmer, in anything you're doing. Always followed by what phrase? Remember, you were a slave in Egypt. Remember, you were a stranger in some of this land. Remember how they treated you. You know the nefesh, you know the feeling of a stranger. Don't you dare do that to others. And God detests the way the Egyptians acted, the way they treated us. So God didn't redeem us so we could do it to other people. You follow? God didn't give us sovereignty and freedom so we can do that to others. God gave us sovereignty and freedom so we could set up a just society that's a model for other nations to learn from. And therefore, I need to remember there's a purpose in our history. Now, in theory, every generation should go through that suffering, but that would be bad. So God has an easier plan. What do we do once a year? Remember that experience. Pretend that you went through it. Pretend that you were sensitized and you suffered. Redeem that collective suffering, okay, and make it a way of life. Take that story and find meaning in it and make it transformative. Take that suffering and the story of suffering and the story of purpose of chosenness and adapt that and apply that to every day of your life. If that's the case, if remembering the Exodus reminds you how you need to behave, then you don't need to remember it once a year, do you? You need to remember it every day. What do we do? Do we remember every day or once a year? Huh? Yeah. Every day. But once a year, we have to recharge our batteries. Right? The main mitzvah is to remember the story once a year. I mean, the main mitzvah is to remember the story not every day and every night, I think. Does that got to talk about that? Of course it does. Now we'll see why. But in order to make that meaningful, what do we do? Shivat Yamim Tochal Batzot. What book am I quoting from? Want to take a wild guess? What book did I just quote from? We'll read Sefer Zerim. You're going to read it Eitzei Pesach. You might forget it by then. So look, take a look. Look in, where are we? Yeah, question in a second. Open up probably the back page. Yeah, the back page. Like any newspaper, the back page is always has the good stuff. No pictures, but yeah. Have it. Source D on the back. Jewish holidays and Devarim. Remember Shemor Chodesh Aviv, Eitzei Pesach, Hashem Elokecha? Okay. Remember, keep the month of the spring and do Pesach. And it says bring Pesach on Makom HaShem Yivchar Hashem. And then it says as follows. When you bring Korban Pesach, Pasuk Gimel, Lov Tochal Alav Chametz, which means what? Don't need Chametz with the Korban Pesach. Instead, Shivatim Im Tochal Matzot Lechem Oni, Ki Bichipazon Yatzatim Im Mitzrayim. Make a big deal about it once a year in the spring. Eat matzah for 7 days and make a whole big deal about it. And then what? Why? What does it say next? Leman Tizkor Et Yom Tzeit Chametz Mitzrayim Ko Yimei Chayecha. Why do we go with sugar for 1 week to remember it every day? Isn't that explicit? And then we have more laws about Then we have Shabbat, count 7 weeks. Remember that one? That's Shavuot. You call Shavuot. I think it's called Shavuot. That's why I count 7 weeks. Okay? And then that's when do we count 7 weeks? During our harvest season. At the end of our harvest, when our grain harvest is over, we make a holiday to God and give thanks to God and says, be happy in front of God, you and your children, etc. And the orphan, the widow, and the Levite. Okay? And then it says, remember, you were a slave in Egypt. What's going on? After Shavuot, what should it say? Remember what? God gave you the Torah. But what's it saying now? When you bring in your harvest, and your harvest is over, and you want to thank God for your harvest, how do you thank God for your harvest? Not by you being happy. You're happy because you're happy. There's a whole list of people who have to be happy. And what do they have in common? Your servant and maidservant and the Levite and the stranger and the orphan and the widow. What do they have in common? Why don't they? Because they don't own land. You own the land. You're happy not because God commanded you. You're happy because you're happy. You're a businessman. You're a farmer. How do you thank God for your harvest? The harvest is once a year. It's 2 months a year and that's it. Your grain harvest. You have to eat that the rest of the year. How do you thank God for your grain harvest? By sharing it and making others happy. And that's why God took you out of Egypt. Right? That's what it says. Remember, you were a slave in Egypt. And that's why God took you out. And that's why God put you in to take you out. You follow? And therefore, Shavuot, of course, ends with remembering you were a slave in Egypt. Because Shavuot is not about remembering the Torah being given. It's remembering why the Torah was given and how to apply the Torah being given in day-to-day life. Now, we don't have time for it, but look in Source E. If you want to see that theme about remembering you were a slave in Egypt, it's in Parshat Mishpatim. You see that there? In Kedoshim to you. It's really cool. In Kedoshim to you, it says, remember Baftel Recha Kamocha? They thought that was a Klal Gadol Torah. Rabbi Kiva knows what he's up to. Look at the end one time. In the end, it says, it's not in the source sheet, but you'll look at it for homework. At the end of Kedoshim to you, it says, V'chi Agoricha Ger Bar Tzachem. Don't mistreat him. Right? Instead, treat him, Kezrach V'kebe Hagar Gahem, Baftelo Kamocha. Baftel Recha Kamocha is only a setup for the next stage. Even a stranger, treat him like your friend. Like he's one of you. Remember you were a slave in Egypt. And then be just and upright. It's right. Read it. It's in Kedoshim to you. Which goes back to Har Sinai. Now. And then in Sefer Dvarim, that's all the sources. You see that in part C? In the intro, we'll read about it in a minute. And then I have a whole bunch of sources in Sefer Dvarim. Not to mention in the Ten Commandments in Sefer Dvarim. Why do we keep Shabbat? What did you think? From misunderstanding Kiddush Friday night. According to Dvarim, why do we keep Shabbat? That's Shmot. What's Dvarim say? But that's not what it says. It doesn't say that. That's what Kiddush refers to, but Kiddush assumes you know your Chumash. Because what's it say in Chumash? You don't do Malcha. Why? L'man yanuach abdecha ma'abdecha kamocha. You have to rest because your workers need a day of rest. Remember what? Remember, you were a slave in Egypt. In the book of Dvarim, it's a refrain. It's in the Ten Commandments already. At least 6-7 times, as a refrain in Sefer Dvarim, every time there's a law of sensitivity to the less fortunate, it's always followed by, remember, you were a slave in Egypt. Now, if that collective memory of suffering is supposed to guide our day-to-day behavior, then that answers your question. There was a purpose in God putting us in to take us out. Now, how bad it had to be, we cooked our own mess as well. That's Yosef and his brothers and everything we do wrong. We made it worse than it had to be. We had to suffer a little bit. Did we have to suffer so much? That's where the plot gets complicated. But the overall concept of going through suffering in preparation to become a nation was something that was forecasted because it's part of our nationhood. And the fact that it comes up so often in Chumash afterwards seems it must have a purpose. But the purpose in God redeeming us wasn't just to save somebody. The purpose of God redeeming us was to be the model nation that's going to hopefully fix that for mankind. And therefore, that memory is so critical to being Jewish, and that's what makes... The real question our kids asked us, but if they were normal, they would ask, that story is so 4,000 years ago, leave me alone. It meant something maybe 4,000 years ago, even 3,850 years ago. But 4,000 years later, things have changed. Sancheriv came and messed up. Didn't Sancheriv move everyone around? What meaning does something that happened 4,000 years ago mean? You follow? It means nothing. Maybe a year, one generation, too bad. But that's only if I'm remembering what happened. If it's why it happened, if its purpose is eternal, then the memory has to be eternal. And the memory has a purpose. And therefore, remembering the Exodus has to be something transformative and something behavioral, not just something... There's a big difference thanking God, oh, you did me a favor, shkoyach, I'm forever indebted, and remembering why I got involved in your history. And taking that memory and affecting how you behave. And therefore, you mention it all the time. Now, here, look in the bottom of that page. We have Magid in the Magid Mishnah. Magid in the Mishnah, in the Rambam. So we'll skip the Mishnah part, and we'll go to the Rambam part. You see that? Rambam Hilchot Chametz Matzah, Paragimel. Don't you see the very bottom of the back page? Without Nikud. Mitzvah Taseh Shal Torah Lesaper Benisim Niflot Shenasu Avotenu B'Mitzrayim B'Lel Chamishasar B'Nisan Shenemar. Not Vigarta Vinta, but rather, Zachor Et Hayom Hazeh Asher Satam B'Mitzrayim B'Vit Avadim. Kmo Shenemar, Zachor Et Yom HaShabbat. Remember? Our memory of Shabbat reminds us both that God created and why He created. And remembering also Shabbat reminds us how we have to treat the Mandyanuach of Dacha. Remember, you were slave in Egypt. How do we know we do it on the 15th? Right? According to the Rambam, the main mitzvah is Pasuk Gimel. Remember that you left Egypt every day of your life. But why do I do it once a year on the 15th? Because V'gat V'yom Ahu. V'gat L'vincha, I don't learn. I learn mainly when I do it. Not only, but why I do it is from the beginning. And that explains why that's the source of the Haggadah. And now you see how Sefer Dvarim fits in. Now, if that's true, isn't Avadim Inu the best answer we could give to our children? If you know Sefer Dvarim? Because Avadim Inu says it much better. In Sefer Shmuel, it was a little cryptic, wasn't it? I had to kvetch a little bit. To the point that only Ibn Ezra and Rashi caught onto it. And other Parshim didn't hop it. But in Sefer Dvarim, it's right there. And therefore, it's the best answer. And also there, it says Kishalcha Bincha. Now, in light of that, I want to go back now and look at the Haggadah of what we do. Yeah. If you want to go back on the middle page, source C's Brit Ben Abtarim, I'm assuming you're familiar with it, but I have it on the source sheet about where God promised our forefathers, or Avram Avinu, that to become a nation, you have to go through suffering first. Now, let's go to the front page with the small print. This is called the one-page Haggadah, or the place of that Haggadah. You see it? Now, there's something which is very difficult to do, is we're so used to flipping pages. It's like the Machzor on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We're just flipping all day long. You don't know what's going on. When do you stand up? What's going on in davening? For example, when you do a Rosh Hashanah davening, you know, Machzor Tzichron Shofrot, if you don't understand what's happening, that there's three brachot, and each one has 10 psukim, and each one has an introduction and a conclusion, and psukim in the middle, you're totally lost. But when you understand the structure behind it, hey, it makes sense. Now, the same thing in Haggadah. When you understand how Haggadah works, it's not just a bunch of, you know, that's just flipping pages. There's structure to it, and it makes sense. It's just you get lost in all the details. So what I want to do on this one page is try to see what's the flow of Magid, and I want to show you the things that we're talking about. So I numbered each section for reference, and I want to deal with one basic question. We have how much time left? 10 minutes? Oh, that's really bad. Okay, so I'll get right to the point. In Magid, we should tell the story. So where do we tell the story? So I'll go quickly. We'll go through each section and see when we tell the story. Halach Ma'anya? Sounds like an invite. It can't be because we made Kiddush already. It's more of an introduction. It's really part of Yachatz, explaining that the matzah that we're eating, the same matzah that our forefathers ate, when they invited one each other, our forefathers invited one another to Korban Pesach. That was Parshat Lachodesh. And we do, and the matzah we're eating, it's continuing that same tradition with looking forward. Beforehand, yeah. But our forefathers, when they brought the first Korban Pesach, they invited one another. This year here, next year in the land of Israel. This year, slaves, next year free. That's what our forefathers said to each other in Parshat HaChodesh. And that was the first time we were commanded to eat matzah, with the first Korban Pesach. And we're continuing to eat that matzah for the same reason. But we're connecting ourselves to the first Seder. We're not inviting anybody here. Okay. Now, then we get the kid's attention. And we answer the kid, Avadim Ayinu. But Avadim Ayinu doesn't begin the story, does it? Avadim Ayinu is getting his attention. Say, you know what? Hey, we were saved. There's a cool story here. And then we switch tones. But you know what? The Seder is not only for little kids. Who else is it for? It's not just for you. Who is it for? For those rabbis who are fighting with each other all day long. These great rabbis. Remember? Afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevonim. Even we know the entire Torah, and we know better more than everybody, they also have to tell the story. Because they probably need it more than I'm making fun of the rabbi. Sometimes you're so involved in Torah that you forget what it's all about. You think it's about pride and making fun of other people and calling them names. No. They have to tell the story, remember the message behind it. Isn't that, remember, everyone, and the more you tell, the better. Correct? That's not the story. That's why everyone needs to tell it. It's not just about kids, it's about adults as well. Even learned adults. What's four doing here? Is four the story? Four is a story. Four is, remember, the five rabbis in Bnei Brak? Why are you bringing this story about five rabbis in Bnei Brak telling the story all night long? Why are we telling that story? What are we proving?
That they weren't in Mossy.
No, they're know-it-alls because they live in Bnei Brak. But even five, we're proving that even know-it-alls need to tell the story. And that's what we're proving our point. The rabbis make a halachic statement and they prove it. It's a story about rabbis staying up all night. And we only quote one conversation of theirs in paragraph 5. What conversation do we quote? The most important conversation they had that night. That what? The story we're telling tonight is not about something we need to do once a year. What's it about? Remember? You have to remember every day of your life, every day and every night. He didn't understand it until they had that conversation. Someone finally explained to him, shut. Okay. He says, Koy mechecha, remember? We're quoting the pasuk from Devarim, exactly the way we explained it. Why is it Nahagara? Because even though I'm telling the story now, I need to remember it every day of my life. So it's meaningful to put it here. We didn't tell the story yet, though. We'll explain why it's important. Section 6 of the Four Sons is not, it's a beautiful drash about education, differential education. They're messing with the psukim, aren't they? Every pasuk they play with, like we did with the Chacham. But we're teaching how to teach. Remember the Kedata Ben Aviv Lamdo? When you tell the story, don't make it dry. Apply it to the level of each child and its attitude. You know, you have a nerd, remember who said, teach a Mishnah. A normal kid, give him a Musar. You follow? A simple kid, teach him the basics. You follow? And kids who can't ask, but it's a lesson in education. Then we want to know in 7, when do we tell the story? I might think from Rosh Chodesh. No, that makes sense. Maybe we start Tuesday. No, we start only as we eat matzah. You follow? That's a limud. What didn't we do yet? We tell the story. But we have a pregame show. But now we know why we're... I have it all summarized on the page behind it. The first part, we get our attention, then we explain. If you see, there's an outline on the back of the page. Why we do it, who does it, how we do it, and when we do it. You follow? It's a pregame show. Now we're ready for the story. And we begin with what? We have to be answered with Avram Avinu. And why got picked Avram Avinu? And therefore, Terach, his father, was what? Was an idol worshiper. And God chose Avram Avinu from the world of idol worship. Our forefathers were living in a polytheistic world. Terach, Avram's father, was an expert at it. And God picked Avram Avinu and started something new. And he picked Avram, and then he picked Yitzchak, and then Yaakov, and Yaakov went down to Egypt. We're explaining the story has to begin in Sefer Bereshit. It can't begin with Avram Avinu. You understand why? If I begin the story in Sefer Shemot, it's about gratitude. If I begin the story in Sefer Bereshit, it's about destiny and purpose. You follow the difference? For kids, it's fine. Kids need to learn gratitude. They can't understand destiny. They're too young. Right? Adults need to learn destiny. And therefore, I have to start with Bereshit. And where in Bereshit does it start, like you said? With Brit Ben Avtarim. And therefore, what's paragraph 9? We're thanking God for keeping his promise of Brit Ben Avtarim. Not just to take us out of Egypt, to put us in to take us out. And we thank God for watching our history and giving it purpose. And we appreciate that we had to suffer. Now we're going to learn from it. And then we raise our cups to make a toast. to a revolutionary idea. What do we claim? God's promise to watch our history. What are we saying? It wasn't a one-time promise. It's an eternal promise. Why? Because in every generation, we tend to mess up and we get in trouble. And God will come and save us, hopefully sooner than later. But God continues to watch our history. For what reason? So that we can learn from it again. We're going into this constant training. But we need to remember that that covenant wasn't 4,000 years ago. It's applicable every day. It's so important we raise our cups, don't we? What haven't we done yet? We haven't told the story. How do we tell the story? I'll just follow the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells how to tell the story. We start with something derogatory, which is classic. We're experts at that. It's a whole language we made up for that. You ever read Yiddish? We're great at making derogatory. Now, how do we start? We're going to quote the mechanism the Haggadah is going to do to tell the story is going to take Mikra Bikurim. There's five psukim in Mikra Bikurim that tell the story of the Exodus. That's going to be how we tell the story, but we don't just quote those psukim, we darshan, we expound upon them. And the way we tell the story, it starts in 11, really it's primarily in 12 and 13. And that's the main part of the Seder, the part that no one pays attention to. The Chiyuv Doraita is fulfilled over here. And most Seders, no one's paying attention anymore, even the guy leading it. And most will read it like Psukim Zimra without understanding a word. No. And here's your Chiyuv Doraita. Now, why are we picking that? Want to take a wild guess where Mikra Bikurim is from? What book is it in? It's in Devarim. It's the last mitzvah in Devarim. The speech that began with Avadim Hayinu. Perek Vav is the beginning of the speech. The introduction is Perek Hay, but the speech begins in chapter 6. With Shema Bahim, Shema Vahavta, Avadim Hayinu. From chapter 6 all the way to 26 are laws, laws, and laws, and laws, and tons. The last law of the speech in chapter 26 is that once a year, what does the Jew have to do? You tell me. No. He doesn't have to bring his first fruit. He has to thank God for his relationship with God. He has to thank God for the covenant, and he has to understand why. He has to make a proclamation why he was chosen. He got the ayom l'Hashem Elokecha. Not that I'm a farmer. I have to remember the God who gave me the land for a purpose. That's Pripen of Tarim. As a token of his appreciation, what does he bring? I'm not coming to thank God for my fruits. If so, I would say thank you for your fruits and make a bracha achrona, and that's it. Instead, what am I saying? I'm thanking God for my history. Okay? And there's a purpose in my history. And as a token of my appreciation, I'm bringing you my first fruits. It's something symbolic because you're being honored. We're honoring God at a dinner. So we have to make a presentation. I have to come with a trophy, something. I bring something nice, an Oscar. But I'm not coming. I don't need the. I need. That's an expression of my gratitude. What proclamation do I make? Listen carefully. Arami Aved Avi, follow Rashbam Ibn Ezra. That our forefathers were once wandering Armenians. 2 minute warning, right? We're once wandering on Armenians. We started 5 minutes. We're like 5 minutes behind the whole day. Okay. Our forefathers were wandering Armenians, weren't they? They were. Read Chumash. Our forefathers, Avram, didn't have a land they could call home because they didn't. They were Ivrim. They're nomads. And they ended up in Egypt and all they're running around because there's not enough rain and all the grains in Egypt. And we were oppressed in Egypt because we were migrants. We were strangers in someone else's land. And they made us the bad ones, the Egyptians, right? And they enslaved us. And they put us under hard work. And it was so bad we cried out to God. Not to be free, but to have a lighter workload. God heard our cry and he redeemed us and saved us. And then he took us out of Egypt. I got a job for you. Hello? God took us out Biat Chazaka. He did this. He wowed us. And then he has to tell us, I wowed you for a reason. I didn't save you. I saved you not from a tyrant. I did such a good job of saving you. I want you to be my model nation against future tyrants. Right? And you cried out because you were oppressed. I want you to be a nation that's known for hearing the cry of the oppressed. And we have, and the Torah, half of the Torah is about that. And all, especially the laws that say for the Devarim, about a nation known for its sensitivity. And we're servants to God for the message, for the universal message of freedom for mankind. Now, that's Mikra Bikurim, isn't it? We take those five psukim, don't we? And we darshan every single phrase. And that's it. Arami Aved Avi, Ve'er Mitzrayim Avisar, Ve'egoshem Mitemat. You follow? That's how we tell the story, in a beautiful way. And then we darshan, and that's how we get to the 10 plagues. But the mechanism we use is Arami Aved Avi, is Mikra Bikurim. Now, why the rabbis do that? I think it's awesome. I think this custom is from after the Korban. And After the Korban, before the Korban, when did people do Mikra Bikurim? In the time of the Mikdash, we did it, you know, after, in the summer. When we're in exile and there's no more Beit HaMikdash, I can't make this proclamation every year. Why can't I? There's no temple, there's no land. But I have to make that proclamation every year. What do the rabbis do? They take that proclamation that I should be making but I can't anymore, and they move it to the Seder. And I use that proclamation as the core text to tell the story. You follow? And that's what's so beautiful about it. When you understand Sefer Dvarim, especially because where it is in Sefer Dvarim, what Sefer Dvarim is all about. And then you understand what the rabbis are up to in V'dorshim Armei Avidavi at Sova Parsha. That's 12 and 13, and our time is up. The last Rasha is about the Makot. And then we thank God. It would be enough to thank God for one act of redemption. We have to, even more so, we have to thank Him for so many acts of redemption. That's the old Dayenu thing. And then we say at the end, in 16, every generation feels as though they went out of Egypt. Remember? Not out of expression of gratitude, but again, out of recognition of destiny. Because you have to be suffered, and then that becomes, and you have to remember it then every day, and then we finally finish the part. So I tried to show you, I call that Seder for the adults. Now, if you didn't know where Mikra Bikurim is coming from in Sefer Dvarim, if you didn't know the theme of Sefer Dvarim, the Mivnev Sefer Dvarim, and the beginning, this Avadim Ayinu, and this recurring theme of remember you were slave in Egypt, you can't appreciate why there's so many quotes from Sefer Dvarim and Haggadah. When you understand that message, and the key message of Sefer Dvarim, there's a purpose in your history, and there's a purpose in your suffering, and I can redeem that negative experience and make it a way of life, and I can do it in the service of God. That's the Seder for the adult. That's the Seder of Jewish history. That's the, and therefore, remember this day by not eating chametz, because when I don't, if I just stop eating chametz and eat matzah and don't explain the meaning of it, then I have a ritual without any meaning. So I can pass it on from one generation to the next, but it won't affect people the rest of the year. You follow? If it comes with education, then it can be transformative in Jewish history. It can put us back in direction in Jewish history, so we wouldn't have to suffer again. And that's why we need a whole special dinner about it, and I have to get the kids involved. But if you don't study, if you don't know your sources in Chumash, the Seder can get right over your head, and it can be just about eating. It can be Simchat Kreso, not Simchat Yom Tov. So hopefully we can take that idea and apply it. Our time's up, and we have to eat lunch.
Thank you very much.